Often, members of the despondent sect could be persuaded to become lives, either for free or for a donation to their cause, but Hawser couldn't see any of their distinctive tiered headdresses or bleeding eye symbols. Craiklin had only managed to find 3 lives. It didn't look as though he would be staying all that long in the game. The white-haired woman in the reserved seat near the front of the terrace got up, stretched and walked up the terrace between the couches and loungers, a bored expression on her face. Just as she drew level with Hawser's couch, a commotion erupted on a terrace behind them. The woman stopped and looked. Hawser turned round. Even through the quiet field, he could hear a man shouting. What looked like a fight had broken out. A couple of security guards were trying to restrain 2 people rolling about on the floor. The crowd on the terrace had made a circle about the disturbance and were looking on, dividing their attention between the preparations for the damage game and the fisticuffs on the terrace beside them. Eventually, the 2 people on the floor were brought to their feet, but instead of both being restrained, only one was. A youngish man who looked vaguely familiar to Hawser, though he appeared to have been disguising himself with a blonde wig which was now slipping off his head. The other person who had been fighting, another man, produced some sort of card from his clothes and showed it to the young man who was still shouting. Then the 2 uniformed guards and the man who had brandished the card led the young man away. The man with the card took something small from behind one of the young man's ears as he was frog-marched off to an access tunnel. The young woman with the long white hair crossed her arms and walked on up the terrace. The circle of people on the terrace above closed again like a hole in cloud. Hawser watched the woman weave her way through more couches until she left the terrace and he lost sight of her. He looked up. The dueling animals still spun and leapt. Their white blood seemed to glow as it matted their shaggy hides. They snarled silently and scythed at each other with their long forelimbs, but their acrobatics and their aiming had deteriorated. They were starting to look tired and clumsy. Hawser looked back to the game table. They were all ready, and the game was about to begin. Damage was just a fancy card game. Partly skill, partly luck, and partly bluff. What made it interesting was not just the high sums involved, or even the fact that whenever a player lost a life, he lost a life. A living, breathing human being. But the use of complicated consciousness-altering 2-way electronic fields around the game table. With the cards in his or her hand, a player could alter the emotions of another player, or sometimes of several others. Fear, hate, despair, hope, love, camaraderie, doubt, elation, paranoia, virtually every emotional state the human brain was capable of experiencing could be beamed at another player or used for oneself. From far enough away, or in a field shield close in, the game could look like a pastime for the deranged or the simple-minded. A player with an obviously strong hand might suddenly throw it in. Somebody with nothing at all might gamble all the credits they had. People broke down weeping, or started laughing uncontrollably. They might moan with love at a player known to be their worst enemy, or claw at their restraining straps to free themselves for a murdering attack on their best friend. Or they could kill themselves. Damage players never did get free from their chairs. Should they ever do so, an Ishlor Tsunami would shoot them with a heavy stun gun, but they could destroy themselves. Each game console from which the emoter units radiated the relevant emotions, on which the cards were played, and where the players could see the time and the number of lives they each had left, contained a small hollow button, inside which a needle filled with poison lay ready to inject any stabbing finger which pushed it. Damage was one of those games in which it was unwise to make too many enemies. Only the very strong-willed indeed could defeat the urge to suicide implanted in their brains by a concerted attack of half a table of players. At the finish of each hand of cards, when the money which had been gambled was taken by the player with the most card points, all the other players who had stayed with the betting lost a life. When they had none left, they were out of the game, as they would be if they ran out of money. The rules said the game ended when only one player had any lives left, though in practice it finished when the remaining contestants agreed that if they stayed any longer, they were likely to lose their own lives to whatever disaster was about to ensue. It could get very interesting at the end of a game when the moment of destruction was very close. The hand had gone on for some time, a great deal of money had been gambled on that one hand, and one or several players would not agree to call it a day. Then the sophisticates really were separated from the simians, and it became even more a game of nerve. Quite a few of the best damage players of the past had perished trying to outdare and outstay each other in such circumstances.